Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we've got political scientist Mark Poplawski of the College of Southern Nevada and Eric Herzig, political science professor at UNR, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're going to look at politics from all sides here, national, state, regional, local, and we have two great people to be on the program to discuss this. Mark Poplawski is professor of political science at the College of Southern Nevada, and Eric Herzig heads up the political science department at UNR. Pleasure to have you both here. Let's start with you, Mark. So how is the president doing?
How is he doing or what is he doing?
You pick.
I don't know that the president has a lot of success in his portfolio yet, but I think his biggest problem is trying to get a direct focus created for where he wants to go and how he's going to put his assets in place to do it. A lot of misdirection and indirection, I think.
You know, for those that are Trump supporters, he can do no wrong. For those that are no Trumpers, it doesn't matter what he does, it's not going to succeed.
Right.
And one of the things that seems to be really missing here is that the president actually has a sense of humor, and he jokes a lot, but the people who are not supporters don't find it funny. They don't even know it's a joke.
I know, but he also has to realize that you don't win votes on Capitol Hill by joking in public about the people you're supposed to be working with in your own party. And it's one thing to joke in private, but another to do it in what appears to be a bit of an aggressive manner.
The sense of humor is sometimes lost, but that's because Trump will also come out and say some things that are just in your face, and it's not meant to be humorous. To defend Trump in Puerto Rico, for example, you know, he was throwing things to the crowd and whatnot. And people say, oh, how dare he do that? What was he supposed to do? Just this solemn face and not do anything?
He was caught up in the moment.
Right. But to your point, Sam, where you said the critics of Trump, he can't do anything right. And I'm like, give him a break on this one. I mean, it wasn't like he was at a wake. He was trying to inject something into that crowd. By the same token, when he starts going off on tweets at 3 a.m, that's usually not very funny at all. And when he makes it, was it funny when he undercut Secretary of State Tillerson or his exchanges with Senator Corker? So it's really hard to tell when he's delivering a punchline.
Let's feed off of that. When you ask the president if he has confidence in a member of his cabinet, and in this case, Rex Tillerson, and he says yes, does that mean that we're counting the days before he's gone, Mark?
Well, that seems to have been the pattern in the past 6 or 7 months. He will glad hand them and smile at them and then look for a chance to usher them out the back door. I don't know. I mean, it would be a tremendous mistake for him to axe Tillerson at this point. Tillerson has been one of the few strong hands in the administration who knows how to hold firm and negotiate. And the president needs that, and the country needs that, because our State Department is, next to the president, the most important tool we have in dealing with the world.
I would agree that undercutting Tillerson really doesn't make any sense. And particularly when, and this is back to your original question about how's he doing, what is he doing? Yeah, the Trump supporters, he can do no wrong. But increasingly, that group of people who are saying, what is he doing? And there's no solid answer there. It's like on health, starting with health care. He all through the campaign, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be tremendous. Of course, everything's tremendous with Trump. And then when it hits the wall, he goes, who knew it could be so complicated? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is one of the most complicated areas going. In terms of his foreign policy, our tax policy, we get really broad outlines, but where are the details? And then once his staff starts to fill in details, he undercuts them. And so that's, and particularly he has to work with Congress and the Senate. And when you get in fights with them, I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, and it's interesting too, because, you know, for so many years, we've heard people say that it will be better if government were run like a business and with that accountability. And now you have two styles of businessman, the entrepreneur in Donald Trump, and I'm directing this to you, Mark, and then you have the former head of Exxon and Rex Tillerson, two completely different styles of businessmen. And it would seem that Tillerson has the more appropriate response.
Tillerson has come up through the corporate world, where he's had to have accountability to the boards of directors, to the shareholders, and other things, while Trump has come up through the oligarchic world, where he's the boss, he's the demigod. He'll make a decision, and if it doesn't work, he'll just walk out the door, leave it behind, and start a new project, because he can. As the president, you can't do that. You have an obligation to existing programs, to existing policies, and the future of America relies more than on just, oh, just how I feel today. And the business model is a great model, but even Peter Grace had his falling out with Ronald Reagan because he came and told Reagan how to reduce waste, and Reagan couldn't get Congress to act on it. And so the business model is wonderful, but you've got to have more than one person at the table, and they've got to agree on the strategy.
Does Bob Corker now become as dangerous to Donald Trump as John McCain has been?
I don't think so. I mean, Trump's people will turn on Corker, just as they have on McCain.
Yeah, but we're talking two votes in the Senate.
Oh, absolutely. In the short term in the Senate, yeah. Trump doesn't know how to put together a governing coalition because, as Mark pointed out, this oligarchic world of I'm the decision maker, I'm in charge. No, you're not. And when people say government should run like a business, no business would be organized with separation of powers and with a very equal, if not, I would argue, more equal legislative branch, because they're the ones that actually make the law. They're the ones that actually empower the budget. And I think Trump is like, you work for me. No, they don't. And McCain has made that very clear. I think Corker's making it clear. Where Corker and McCain are dangerous is that other members of the Senate are going to say, wait a minute, we don't have to listen to this guy. And then Trump's going to become even more vociferous, and nothing's going to get done. His people will say it's all because of Congress.
And Mark, you take your students back to D.C. every year and visit the Congress. People don't really understand that the Senate was designed to be a deliberative body, to move slowly, to take the excitement from the House and slow it down. That's exactly what's happening.
A tempering factor, yes. And I think that where the president, where the Trump supporters miss the boat, as Eric has pointed out, is Trump supporters don't realize presidents don't make the policy. They ask for it, but Congress makes it. And with Corker and McCain slipping over and Collins already showing her willingness to cross over, the Democrats are in the perfect place to say, please, let's sit down and talk. Let's come up with a compromise. And when they start putting compromise packages on the president's desk and he attacks both parties, you're going to see a siege mentality where the White House throws up the fence, said, everybody hates me, leave me alone. And maybe Congress will finally realize they have to do their job.
Well, and the other thing is that they have the power of the purse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't think Trump necessarily gets that. And he can do it with the wall. It's like, oh, this wall, which we don't know how much it's going to cost, or now even who's going to pay for it. It's like, oh, you will do this. And he's going to lose people who actually are closer to being his allies, the fiscal conservatives, who are going to say, wait a minute, this is how much money? And Trump said, but I want it. I want it. It's not about what he necessarily wants, because they've got other concerns as well.
All right, let's take a break. More with our panel when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great show going with two professors of political science, Mark Poplawski and Eric Herzig. And I wanted to talk about immigration, because the president at this point wants to cut the number of immigrants coming to the country. And at the same time, we have these natural disasters in Texas, in Puerto Rico, in Florida, now California. We have an unemployment rate in the 4% range, which is literally full employment. And so aren't we going to need immigrants, and start with you, Mark, to rebuild this country?
We've always needed immigrants, and we've always needed competition. Competition is a great way to get people to work harder and be more diligent. And I think that people seem to forget that America has been the honeypot without a lid for 200 years. And all of us, practically, are here because of immigrants. Now, I understand the furor over the cost of illegals to our system, to hospitals and schools and everything, but let's be realistic. People come here because we have a great product. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's getting arrested trying to get out because everybody wants to come here. Let's be realistic about it. Let's put them to work. Let's make them productive because we need people on the front lines with tools and shovels in their hands.
Eric, you agree?
Well, largely, yes. And a point that Mark made that I'll expand on is that it's a popular image, in a sense, or issue to be almost anti-immigrant, build the wall. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the knee-jerk. And Trump goes back to that whenever he's in trouble. He'll go back to these just, you know, red meat issues with his base. I think people are starting to see when you start to affect or put into effect the various policies. The dairy industry, for example, those guys who are rural voters, conservative, and they're saying, but wait a minute, the people who actually will come out and work in Wisconsin and Vermont in the winter, they're not these unemployed people that we're talking about in West Virginia or something. And people who are processing your meat, the people who would build the wall, ironically, in the middle of Texas, or the southern base of Texas. These are people, as Mark said, this is the competition. These are the people that would come in and do the job. And if you don't have them, then these labor shortages are going to get even worse. Prices are going to go up. Businesses are going to say, where are our workers?
Well, also from an entrepreneurial point of view, I mean, people who are coming to this country are looking for a better life. They're prepared to work hard and bring a different creativity, just like for those of us who travel to other countries. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm invigorated when I go to other countries as I am when I go to other states to meet different people, different ways of life, get ideas, bring them back. And being an immigrant myself coming from England, this is truly the land of opportunity. And as long as it remains that way, they're going to keep coming. Let's take a break and we'll have more with our panel when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got a great show going here with Mark Poplawski and Eric Herzig, both professors of political science. Mark is with the College of Southern Nevada, and Eric is with UNR. Let's talk about some politics in the Silver State. So it's going to be Chris G against Steve Sisolak on the Democratic side in the governor's race. Your thoughts, Eric?
It's not what the Democrats need. They need to get behind a single candidate. But this is, we often talk about the split in the Republican Party, but there is a split in the Democratic.
Huge.
Yeah, but there is a split in the Democratic Party as well. Chris G is going to be the more liberal candidate. She's going to try to tamp that down. Sisolak is...
You think so? I don't think so.
Oh, I
think she's going to appeal to the Bernie side of the party.
Okay. I'll backtrack then. Yeah, she might play full liberal. Usually when... You get the liberal candidates, though, they do try to tamp it down a bit, Jill Derby being the best example up here. Sisolak has some problems with key demographics within the Democratic Party. He's got a lot of money, though. He's going to be tough. He certainly got out in front of the tragedy in Las Vegas. But again, this is going to be a fight. I think Chris G actually could take him out, but then where does that leave the Democratic Party going forward? Would they rally around her, particularly in the North?
Okay, so Mark, take that. Run with it.
I don't think Chris G will back off. I think that she will run a hard campaign, but she's way behind the curve in terms of raising money, and she is already labeled out there as a left-winger. She could give Steve a real run for his money, but I think he'll beat her, but in the long, well, at least based on the budgets. But when you talk about getting out of Clark County and into the rest of the state, I think Steve will run better because of his business chops than will Chris. I mean, we've seen liberal women get totally blown away north of Clark County.
Well, because of bad campaigns.
I think that'll happen in the general.
But Shelley Berkley, for example, worst campaign I've ever seen.
Who?
Shelley Berkley. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I don't think that was the candidate. I think it was the candidate's team that were completely clueless, did not return phone calls, did not return texts, did not return emails. Even when the candidate requested to be on certain programs like this one, there was no communication. So, I mean, I think that was just a bad choice there. But this is still a state that, nominate Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump. Let's go to the other side and talk about Adam Laxalt. And Mr. Tarkanian, Danny is out there fighting every inch, Mark.
Oh, he certainly is. And I think that Republicans would like to like him, but I think that his track record is one that says, look, if we've got to put him up against a well-funded Democrat, will he lose again? Adam Laxalt comes from a traditional family with deep roots in politics in Nevada, and he won the single race he's been in here, and a lot of the old-timers have already put their money and their commitment to Laxalt. So I think Danny's running an uphill battle here.
Eric, do you think that Adam has the name recognition amongst the general public? It strikes me that he still has work to do for people to know who he is, because I don't think the Laxalt name means a lot to D.C., and the Domenici name means a lot in New Mexico, and so there's a lot of money coming in. But I think that, you know, Paul Laxalt was a long time ago.
Absolutely. It doesn't hurt him.
Right.
And it connects him to kind of an old guard, say, within Nevada. But
I know.
If he's relying on that, I mean, the majority of the state, majority of residents in this state are here after Paul Laxalt was gone. And so it's like, oh, I maybe know that name. I think instead he's carved out his niche within the conservative side of the Republican Party, has really tried to take over, you know, even adopt, kind of stealing the slogan of Reagan, you know, morning in Nevada or whatever exactly it is. That's where he's running, and that's where he hopes to kind of make his chops going forward.
Mark, let's talk about Sheldon Adelson and his ownership of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And has that changed politics in Nevada, except maybe on the opinion page? For example, the RJ went from being in favor of marijuana or being libertarian about it to being anti-marijuana, and that's certainly the stance of the ownership. But in other ways, it seems to me to be a pretty darn good paper.
Well, I had my issues with the Review Journal before, and I have even more now. I find that they're putting opinion articles as if they are news articles. I mean, their White House correspondent is constantly writing front page stuff as if it's news, but it's more opinion than news in many cases. And I have a problem with that, because the public wants to read journalistic effort, not opinions. They can go to page 4B if they want opinions. And it's really gotten much more heavily opinionated. And if you like their opinions, it's good. But I'm about as moderate as you come, and I love to read both the Wall Street Journal and the New York and the Washington Post, but I'm not getting any breath out of the Reviewer Journal. It's getting much narrower in focus.
And Eric, the only actual opinion columnist they have, apart from Victor Jakes, is Wayne Allen Root, who is far, far out on the edge. We got about 30 seconds.
It's still a paper finding itself. I'll leave it at that. I mean, it's certainly the editorial page has changed in some specific items. It's got fewer columnists. I think the news part has been pretty good, actually.
Well, and their coverage of the shooting has been fantastic. I mean, just admirable. They've been all over it. All right, gentlemen, we will have you back, because there is so much more to talk about as we head into 2018 and what will be an incredible election cycle. Thank you both here for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On the next broadcast, the author of Shots Fired, Joey Walker, for the whole show on our next Nevada Newsmaker.